And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
Name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world.
WWRB
5050 on your radio dial. Glad to have you in here tonight. Got a great one for you. Yahweh's transforming power. You know what it says in the scriptures? You shall is a positive statement. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the Bible says it's a fearful thing. to fall into the hands of the living God. Why should we fear to fall into His hands? First of all, His ways are not our ways. As heaven is higher than the earth, so is His ways higher than our ways. You know, a submarine is a unique vessel. When it's floating on top of the water, it's almost helpless. But you take that same submarine and a storm on top of the water, tossed to and fro, the waves affecting. And fear is the base of what I was teaching tonight to get you to understand the point that it's a fearful thing. However, it's a required thing. The submarine is only safe in deep water. The deeper the water, the safer the submarine. The submarine don't feel any storms in deep water. But if the submarine is practically submerged on the top of the water, then it gets tossed to and fro. So we need to make a commitment. Most of the fears that we have is the unknown. The commitment, the responsibility, the workmanship, the change. Fears of having to face trials. Fears of having to be strong. You know, the Romans never had any armor on their hinder parts. The Roman army was taught never to show the heel to the enemy. What that mean? Keep facing the enemy. Know where your enemy is. And through that transformation of that power, you'll overcome. Do not forget that all transformation in our life begins with sincere desire. Now the Messiah, when He was here, He taught prayer. Prayer brings about transformation. And if you go to the bellbox churches, you see them praying. And they pray and pray in loud prayers, and they're like Christ said, they think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. You know, the most awesome prayer that's ever prayed is without any words being said. Silence is deafening. When our faith is weak, it's weak because we fail to pray. Pray lest you enter in to temptation. Now, what is a temptation? Temptation could be considered a good thing in the life of those who profess to be a servant. That means you don't do anything. You're not on call. You don't have to pray. You don't have to seek Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you become ineffective because you don't strive to enter in at the straight gate. So prayer will transform. Success is measured through prayer, the transformation. A praying man like Saul, when he came into the faith, he came praying. He had lost his eyesight. He had good eyesight up until he saw the light. Sometimes the light can blind you through fear. Fear of changing. Paul was a Pharisee of the strictest sort. He had pride. He was on his way to Damascus to bind those that called on the name of Yahweh. Once he was struck down and humbled, his mind was filled with what that Spirit told him. He said, I'm going to show you, Saul, what great things that you're going to suffer for my name. Now, he was astonished because in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 14, Paul, when he was struck down, he heard his name called, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, well, who are you? And the one that answered back in a Hebrew tongue, the 14th verse. 26:14 Acts. Now, listen, let me show you how deceiving translations can be to you. You gotta show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, and Jesus said unto him in the Hebrew tongue, I am Jesus. Well, first of all, if you can see why that you've got to face these trials and be strong, you've got to work out your salvation. It's a straight and a narrow way. Transformation. He knew better than that. He knew that his name was not Jesus. Paul was the strictest Pharisee who had been taught, according to the Pharisee tradition and religion, and Christ said, beware of both of them. He had been taught that the name Yahweh was too holy to be uttered verbally in the midst of other people. That's what he believed. That's why he had warrants in his pocket. That's why he was sent to punish those who were preaching, not Jesus. They were preaching the Hebrew name of Yahweh. They were called into the assemblies and the meetings by the Sanhedrin court. They were hauled off into court. You see, it was a charge of blasphemy when they were told not now. This is why Peter and James and John in the 17th chapter of the book of St. John had to be told by the Messiah. It was the Messiah. They had never heard the name of Yahweh spoke. It was the Messiah who told them what the Father's name was. Now in John 5:43, the Father had a name. The Son came in it. He said, I come in my Father's name. Now, if the Father's name in Hebrew was Yahweh, what would the Son's name be? The same yesterday, today, and forever. All transformations must believe with the acceptance of the truth. You shall know the truth. Transformation. That's what we're talking about. Being changed. You know, some people get baptized in Yahweh's name and you can't tell any difference in them whatsoever. the conversation is about worldly things, just like it was before they went in to the water. Yahweh's transforming power will rob you of the old man, if you'll let it. It will remove the love of the old man if you will submit and accept transformation. All transformations, like I say, is going to begin with acceptance of truth and prayer. The Messiah himself understood of the need of praying to become spiritually healthy. Pray, lest you enter into temptation. Pray for your path to be widened. It's a narrow path. Messiah himself never did anything until he prayed. He prayed about everything. And yet he said, this way will be straight and it will be narrow, and only a few will find it. How many is going to be saved? Well, the world tells us that many, the Bible tells us that many will say they know him, say that they're transformed, say that they got the right testimony, say that they know how to please him, and yet they themselves are servants of bondage and corruption and false name. Beware of who you take to prayer. When the Messiah was here, he only took Peter, James, and John. They needed the transformational power. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Peter denied him before the Holy Ghost came. But once they were endued with power from on high, it transformed. If you haven't had a transformation, if you're not a new creature, there's something like it. You got to have this power. Christ himself was transfigured. Transformation. He never taught anything that he didn't set the example. They were sleepy. That carnal mind was working overtime. And by the time that he was transformated in their presence, they were totally asleep. And some people, there's Peter, James, and John, they wanted to be disciples. But that carnal mind was a block. It couldn't accept what the Spirit was doing in its transformation. They were afraid. The Bible said they were sore afraid. Have you ever been afraid that you were sore? Sore afraid. Afraid of that transformation. Don't ever underestimate the influence of a transfigured person that lives in his presence and walks with him and sees his glory without getting overcome like Peter, James, and John. Our ability to see the glorified Yahweh like Paul, or the one called Saul, he got transformed in a blinding light. Peter, James, and John became sore afraid and went to sleep. Sometimes we don't want to see Him as He is in our flesh, because the flesh is detrimental. The flesh is an object of opposition. It wants to see Him in its way. His own mother wanted to see Him turn the water to wine. She never understood that He was the wine. Haven't you saved the best wine for last? Why should we be afraid to fall in His hands? He's the fine wine. Don't be discouraged when you stand next to the transfigured, anointed one. I mean, they saw Moses and Elijah. That was a sight to see, wasn't it? There was Moses, the great lawgiver. They'd heard about him. How'd they recognize him? I'll never know. But they knowed it was Moses because Peter mentioned his name. He said, let us build two tabernacles here. There's two houses for this great man called Moses and Elijah. He's the great prophet. You know why the glorification came upon him and Moses and Elijah appeared? Because the glorified power of Yahweh fulfilled the law and the prophets. And they were there to witness the fact that the Supreme One, the Mighty One, the Everlasting One, the God of the whole earth, glorified, all power. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Sometimes we're awed by the power instead of becoming the power. We want to see miracles and signs. We're told that we want to see Him. We tell Him this, and He knows better. They tell us that if we see miracles and signs, we'll believe. Well, He said, I gave you miracles and signs. I just raised up Moses. He's been dead for 1,500 years. Elijah, 1,000 years. Is that a miracle? And instead of believing, they went to sleep. Sometimes we get in our comfort zone. We don't want to be interrupted out of our comfort zone. When we really have to seek Him, when we really have to transform, when we really have to understand that the kingdom is within us, then it becomes a different set of rules that we have to play by. And we're not comfortable. We're not taught to play that rule. The kingdom of heaven, Luke 17:20, is within you. Seek me with all of your heart. Transform yourself with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And so we like to reinvent the Messiah like we want Him. We feel comfortable that way. Not the way He wants us to be. We want to reinvent Him or mold Him or change Him in what we want Him to be. That's why we've got so many denominational systems. instead of taking the Word and bowing to the Word and conforming to the Word, conforming to His ways, which is not our ways, we go out and we form our way, our reinvention, our ideal of what the Messiah should be. We change His Word. Peter spoke. In Mark 9 and 6, only because he was afraid. Never speak out of fear. Never act out of fear. If you have fear, you got torment. It's like the submarine being afraid to dive into safety in deep water. Cast out your nets into the deep. Christ knew that the fish were down below where they were fishing. Now, of course, the Messiah was telling Moses and Elijah about his plans to die and to suffer. The apostles were asleep. Here they are, afraid. I mean, the Bible says that they literally were sore afraid. You can't serve Yahweh being afraid and humping up and hiding. What are you running from? To die is to gain. Oh, well, we need to extend our life. If you're running from a serpent and run down the road from it and then lay your hand on a wall, the Bible said the serpent will bite you where you didn't expect it to bite. It will come up on you in a day that you think not. That's what he said. People don't like a gospel that includes suffering. They want ease. They want air conditioning. They want the power to stay on. They want to have plenty of food. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what are you running for? Isn't to die to gain? Even so come Yahweh? That's what Peter, James, and John said. Man, we're eating good. I'm going to like to run around this Messiah because he can turn the water into wine. He can turn the stones into bread. He can turn the fishes and feed us fish. You know, we've got a carnal mind understanding of what we ought to do. Take no thought what you will put on. Take no thought of what you'll wear. Take no thought of how much money you got in the bank. Did you know that Peter's request? Come, let's build you a temple. He didn't understand that Yahweh don't dwell in temples made by hand. Moses didn't need a temple made by his hand. Elijah didn't need a temple. Peter had no understanding that he was interfering with God's plan. And a lot of people interfere instead of promote Yahweh's will. Peter just didn't understand that his future could only come from someone that died for him. For he that died rose again. Peter said, now, my power is in the resurrection. The resurrection? And we're trying to save our life? He that will seek to save his life will lose it. And he that will lose it will save it. Now, that's contrary to the carnal mind. Yet there's no victory without the tree. I said, there's no victory without the tree, without the shedding of blood. This is a shedding of blood way. They want blood. They're going to receive blood. I was talking to a brother today and was talking about all the wars that's been fought since the beginning of time. You don't think Yahweh remembers you've been inducted in to serve in the military? When they tell you where to go, who you're supposed to kill. We fought the Germans in World War I. We should have been fighting on their side instead of fighting against them. But see, the war wasn't designed by us. We didn't have our way. Someone else that designed the wars had their way. And all these wars have been fought for profit. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, we fought them for freedom. We lost our freedom in the process by being told that we had freedom. We lost our sight like Paul did when he was going down the road to Damascus to bind the folks that called on the audible name of Yahweh. It was a blasphemous sin to call Yahweh's name out. Paul didn't know Jesus. Yahweh didn't know Jesus. He don't know no other gods. These are manufactured, created, deceivable. The Bible said that the devil will deceive all that dwell upon the earth whose names are not written. Message is clear here tonight, folks. Transform. Renew. Love. Well, I love you, Pastor Buddy. With your mouth you draw near, but your heart is far from me, saith the Messiah. Listen to the Word. I don't need a preacher. I'm too great myself. I know the Bible, glory to God. Tell you what Yahweh said. You know, I never impose. I never try to be a dictator. But I do stand for the Word. I will defend the Word. There ain't no victory without the Word. There ain't no power without the Word. You shall receive power after the Word comes upon you. And as soon as it comes upon you, people say, well, it didn't mean that. I ain't going to do that. God ain't told me to do that now. That's what that old preacher said. I ain't going to do that, glory to God. Message is clear again. Transform. Listen to the message. Did you know that Moses was a type of Christ? Type of that transformation? When Moses went up on the mountain and he got the tables of stone, the Bible said his face shone. He didn't know that. He didn't know that there was a transformation. He didn't know his face shone so bright that it would blind people. When he had the tables of stone carrying them off the mountain, he still needed a torch to get down in the dark hours. But he didn't need a light to understand that the people that he had left to get the message or the Word, they had started listening to the other preacher. There's always someone that wants to change Yahweh's Word, water it down. you don't have to do that. Let's take from this and we'll be doing that. Yes, it's a hard saying. They don't like Yahweh because of the Word. They hate Yahweh's Word. They always have and always will because they're not transformed. They got the same old spirit. They go in wet. They come out with a spirit like a mullein plant. You know what a mullein plant is, don't you? That's one of the ugliest plants I've ever seen. Their face looks like mullein. They're always mulled up at the Word. They mulled up on Moses when he came down with his face shining. He said, "What's going on here?" "Well, we thought we'd have a party while you was gone. We didn't think you was coming back. What you got there in your hands?" "Well, I've got the commandments that Yahweh wrote with His finger." Did you think they wanted to see that? They wasn't interested in the commandments. Yahweh said, "I gave you the commandments and none of you kept them." You get a group together and want to be doing His thing over here, all lock-jawed, mulled up. Others will be doing something different. You'll be up there preaching the Word and, "I don't think you're supposed to do that." Did you know that they were afraid of the Messiah when He came and done many works? The people feared. He said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." The same thing that the man who had his transformation, his face shone like the lightning, the people were afraid. They said, "My heavens, we don't want to see His face around here. We want to eat, drink, and be merry. We want to shout around the golden calf." When the Messiah came into their presence, transformed His raiment. His whole being was electrified, transformed. Yahweh is a light and seeketh such to worship Him. Most people are looking for an image. The Bible says that the Messiah is not going to come back with observation. Quit looking for the man to come out of the clouds with 2 feet and 2 hands and a shiny face. That's a Christian concept of the Western United States. What should we look for, Pastor Buddy? 2 things that the apostles got on the day of Pentecost when they received power through transformation. One was light. And the other was sound. What should you seek for? "Well, I won't see Jesus. Glory to God." No, you don't. He come down with the physical law and the commandments in the personage of Moses. You see, just as soon as Moses turned his back, they started wagging their tongues, doubting old Moses. "Why, he's led us out here to be destroyed. He never told us nothing wrong. I never did believe he's right, no way." If you listen today to how people talk about their transformation, it's weak as water. No change. The mullein plant was baptized for the remission of sins, and the mullein plant came out after baptism for the remission of sins. No change. No transformation. If you've ever seen the Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Christ, the anointed within. He'll transform your life. Why is the world so afraid of this? Why do they turn away? Because of the tradition of the Catholic Church. Oh, you got to say a holy mass and you got to come here to the temple. When Yahweh says, I don't dwell in temples. Here the Christians are waiting on some kind of a God to come out of the heavens. And Satan will oblige them, according to Paul writing in 2 Thessalonians, that Satan will come and go to the sacred ground that Christians and Jews and Muslims believe is holy. And he'll build a temple over there because the work is ready to be done. The physical things are ready to be built and we'll be deceived again, just like the Vatican in Rome. When will people ever learn? Yahweh stands at the door and knocks. Now, what kind of door is it? It's a narrow door. A very narrow door. Paul, Saul, what are you doing? Well, Lord, Hashem, they were speaking your name out verbally and you know it was against your law. And Yahweh said, well, I thought I wanted to make it known throughout the earth. I thought that you were supposed to be teaching that whosoever calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. And here you're trying to get my people to forget my name for Lord, Baal. Isn't Satan crafty? To go to a temple made with hands when he don't dwell there. But it's a place to go to. We need a place to go. You've got the place to go to. Christ has done come there. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The light and the sound within. Well, I can't stand the silence. I can't stand there and wait for him. He don't never show up. David said, Yahweh, whom you seek, and the day that you seek me with all your heart, if you have a desire to be transformed, to be spirit, the kingdom of heaven that dwelleth within you, don't worry, little flock. It's Yahweh's good will to give you the kingdom. But you've been seeking it over in St. Where is that at? Saint Utah. Or Saint Israel. Yahweh don't dwell with brick and mortar, folks. Again, Yahweh don't hear you because of your mouth speaking. The light that he wanted you to see is the same light that Moses was transformed. The Messiah in the 17th The chapter of the book of Matthew was transformed. And the same transformation that will come upon you, if you will seek that transforming power by the renewing of your mind, the thing that you've learned has to be unlearned. Your tradition of going to a physical church has to be peeled off. You have to destroy the carnal mind. You say, well, I just don't want to do that. It feels so comfortable to think on Him, and I'm comfortable here. I can sit in the pews and sleep. Most people that go to the church are sitting there dead, deader than last year's bird's nest, asleep with a mullein face. I don't believe it says that, glory to God. I don't believe it says that, glory to God. I know that Moses got tired of hearing these murmuring, stiff-necked, complaining, hypocritical, deceived, fearful Israelites that gang up like a bunch of crows. Why not be about the Father's business? How many of you baptized lately? How many of you showed the path to the right temple? How many times have you preached that inward light and to be a seeker of? What about the treasure? Was it found in Jerusalem? No, it wasn't. Where was it found? In the heart, where Yahweh dwells. The kingdom within. Luke 17:20. Again, after they received the Holy Ghost, power came upon them. They were a new breed, calling upon the name that Paul thought too holy to be expressed. Do you know what the penalty was for getting baptized in that name? How would you like to, you know, people can come here freely, although there's a price to it. You got to give up your family. You still got to do these things. It's still a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the mighty one. You still got to stand in opposition to everything in the world. This is a different walk entirely. It's not Christianity per se. Now, how to understand the transformation. See, you count it not strange of what's come upon you. You're a changed, a different person. You are transformed. You talk a different language. It's not Christian. I ain't gonna have it if it ain't Christian. You know, the hardest road I've got to is to cut through the tradition of what the church has assured you is true when none of it is and none of it ever was. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But they're waiting for you to come with your tithes and your offerings to a brick and a mortar place and sit there and listen to their preachers dumb you down, put you in a box, change your thinking, when Yahweh was teaching. Here's Moses. He's gone up there 40 days. They said, well, ain't nothing going to happen to him. He went up there and died somewhere. I know what's befell him. Some wild animals eat him up. And here he comes shining like a 300-watt light bulb. They couldn't look on his face. Why did he throw the Ten Commandments down and break them? The Ten Commandments were physical. His enlightenment came from within. He had found the place of the kingdom. And the Israelites didn't understand it. Said, well, we want a temple. You just build us a temple. We want a place that we can see, hear, feel, and touch, and taste. We want His promises. We want to get in our comfort zone. We want to sit on the pews making some good seats. You did run well. What hindered you?
Well, I know that He was a demanding God. I took my talent off and buried it. I quit using it. about the time we get ready to start using our talents and start using what we've done for Yahweh. People want to quit and divide up and gang up like a little gang of birds here and there, chirping their own little message. Will they follow the minister, the preacher, the chosen one, the anointed one? No! Don't talk about him from pillar to post. Speak evil of him. Beware! You better be transformed. You better be about your Father's business. You better go to the deep things of Yahweh and get out of this little monkey business and the tradition of the West, which doesn't know enough about Yahweh and His path to find Him. Well, that ain't how we done it. We went to church and we went up to the altar and we bowed down and that's what Yahweh said to do. You show me where He said to do that. He told you what to do. He told you how to enter in the straight gate. He told you it was going to be a few. Christianity's got at least 3 billion people. You believe there's 3 billion people on the planet tonight ready to meet Yahweh in the straight and narrow? I don't think so. It ain't going to happen. Did you know the Spirit that dwells in us is a comforter? I don't have to have nobody around me to comfort me. I've got the Comforter within me. I don't have to be consoled and patted on the back. I'm not looking for that. I'm not preaching for that. I'm not laboring for that. I know that when I preach the truth, the same thing's going to happen to me that happened to the Messiah who gave them a message of truth in the 17th chapter when His raiment become as lightning. Well, they got a vision. This vision carried on to the inward world according to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. Here Moses, who was there in the physical, Peter, James, and John were physical, but they were transformed. The Messiah was transformed. They seen the glory of this power. Peter said, it's good for us to be here. No, it wasn't good for them to be there because they got the wrong message. Peter didn't get it right. He wanted to start building a building. One for the Messiah and one for Peter, or one for Moses and one for Elijah. He didn't get the message of enlightenment. He didn't get transformed. He didn't receive any knowledge that day. He had to be told again. He was nearsighted. He was blind. He was sleepy. He was lazy. He was fearful. We've got the same old mullein plants are growing around today. I get tired of looking at mullein plants. Ugly as homemade soap. I like joy. I like peace. I like contentment. I like boldness. What do we got to be afraid of? We're all humped up, afraid that we ain't going to make it. We're going to die. What in the world did we get in this for? To hump up and hide? We got in it to do the work of an evangelist. Work while it's light. Work for the light. Press toward the light. Not the things of darkness where there's fear and torment. I believe every rumor that I've heard over 55 years, I would be loony as a doom bug. The world is full of carnality. They don't have a mind. They're not transformed. They have no power to see within. You get divine help by going in. Don't worry, little flock.
it's Yahweh's will to give you that inward press toward the mark and the high calling. Buried with him in a watery grave. Paul knew that he'd been transformed. He said, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of Yahweh. The doctrine directly opposite of what he was being taught in the carnal. He said, now, Paul, you've got to watch. If you see anybody speaking the name of Yahweh publicly, you throw rocks at them. The Messiah himself in Luke 4, as his custom was, went into the temple in a theocratical government. It's all right when Yahweh set it and set him a temple to worship and to have him as king, but they soon despised him and his word. They didn't want him around. He was a nuisance. He bothered them. To give us Saul. We'd rather serve Saul. Give us David. Give us a king that we can say we want to be baptized. We don't want to be God's chosen and faithful. We want to be like the world. We won't be humped up ahead behind some rock. Don't you think Yahweh's big enough to control this whole earth, that he's in control of what's happening, and that he ain't going to let anything happen detrimental to his saints because we're his chosen ones? Don't worry, little flock. It's my good will to give you the kingdom which is within you. All you got to do is go within, seek the light and the sound, become part of me. Don't get caught up in all this false church world doctrine, the doomsayers. They can't even explain the Trinity. I was talking to one of my brothers the other day, and I was telling him about a sister that was talking about the Trinity. She believed there was three gods, literally. An angel, she had a vision one night. She had run her husband off because he had become oneness. He believed in one Yahweh. She run him off and packed his bags and threw them out in the yard. An angel that night visited her in a vision. She saw a vision. The angel came down in her room holding an egg. And he asked her how many eggs she's seen. She said, I see one. He said, God is one. The Bible said the devil believes that and trembles. He said, there's three substances to this egg, but one egg. And that's what Yahweh is. Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, and Yahweh the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the power of transformation after you get this knowledge. You're going to be a new creature. Yahweh's going to hear you. You're going to be one of His children. Do you feel loved tonight or do you feel afraid? You afraid of what's coming? If you have, you got torment. If you don't have no fear, you got peace, you got contentment, you got great gain. Power, transformation. You're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight. You'd like to write me? You can do so. If you'd like to have a transformation. Post Office Box 568. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. If you'd like to call me, you can do so. Live tonight around the world on WWRB. 1-423-351. 1082. Got a lot of people used to call me, but they don't call me anymore because they want a compromise. They want a smooth speech. They want an enticing word. They don't like what Yahweh's got for transformation. You'll never overcome your sins and your shortcomings without honoring Yahweh's way and His word and His prophet. Now, if you'd like to go to our website tonight and you want to know some more about what Pastor Buddy is preaching to you about, you can do so by going to oneyahweh.com. One, that's O-N-E, oneyahweh.com. Over 30,000 visitors. I haven't heard from Bob today. I haven't talked with him. Last time I talked with him, it was over 30,000. Haven't been up but 3 months. 30,000 folks visited and inquired. You can do so by going to oneyahweh.com. And I'll be back Friday night on The Late Show. Join me. Don't miss it. Join me on The Late Program Friday night, 11 p.m. Stay up and watch the angels come out and see the light. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh's blessings to all those who love His name and love His appearing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yahweh bless you is my prayer.